the situation is that I'm also the village musician here, for those who just came in. The situation is that I'll be playing various pieces, which I actually have my own program. There, in fact, was a situation once of where I omitted various pieces and people would come up to me afterwards. You know, you're supposed to memorize your program. I memorize notes, but I don't necessarily memorize programs. It's kind of that way. And as a result, someone said, well, gee, you know, it seemed like there was kind of a two pieces that were put together, and I realized I had missed, you know, like one or two pieces of the program. It's kind of like, you know, missing the homily, you know, in a regular Vesper service, but actually it's not that bad. But in essence, I've got my list right here in front of me, and I'd like to give a little bit of a historical perspective also in relationship to some of the pieces that I'll be playing. I'm first of all playing some pieces by Fernando Sor. Spain, he was a Spanish nationalist composer of the classical period. And it's interesting at that particular time because all the way basically from the Baroque, or should I say just post-Baroque period, Rococo, which I'll be playing some examples of also, the classical period, or what you would consider to be like classical opera, if you were to hear that, a lot of the music from Spain has a certain amount of a sort of kind of a Spanish tinge to it. I could play a particular scale and you would look at this and, like, for instance, this scale. And you'd say, that sounds like a major scale, all right? Well, not to get too heavy or too deep into music theory or whatever, but in essence, what you have is you have a situation of where we have a series of notes that you pick and choose from what you would consider to be a chromatic scale, which would sound like this. All right, now all of those particular notes are all the notes that are available to us here in Western European music. And that's us, believe it or not, because we're all basically people from Western Europe. But the situation is that with this particular scale, which actually is the same scale, or is the same notes, only starting on a different degree. I could be playing this, and you could be hearing this. And it sounds like the same scale. But if I were going to be playing this chord over it, and I play this scale, which is actually the same as a major scale, but it sounds very different now because of its background. What country does this make you think of?
Spain.
So in other words, musically, what's going on here is that you're watching somebody walk by here, here at Holden, you recognize that face and you say, hi, Bill, how are you? But here, musically, what we have is we have a situation of where we hear the scale and we go, Spain. Interesting. Why would these series notes make you feel like the Iberian Peninsula? Well, simply because we've been conditioned to experience that. All right, now there are going to be some pieces that have particular feelings like that in some of the pieces I play. This one, however, the three etudes or estudios by Fernando Sor. Now, at etude or estudio, I'm sure that most people's Spanish is good enough to know that just means study. And what I have here is there are pieces and things technically that might be somewhat difficult, and someone decided, let's make a piece of music out of it. We can kill two birds with one stone then. And it's nice because then as a result you have an opportunity to you know, be able to enjoy music while indeed, you know, strengthening your fingers too. These are three studies that were put together. They're actually numbered. One is number 9, the second is number 2, and the third one is number 12. And I may say a couple of things about them. I might not. We'll just see how the spirit moves us. Thank you. Was anyone here at the last recital? Okay. Well, there are repeats on that one. Actually, it's funny because last week I sort of came off the bus and they said, well, great. Hey, can you play a recital tonight? So I kind of did sort of a shortened version in hopes of being able to sort of bring a lot of the additional ones in this time. But in essence, these pieces are sonatas by Domenico Scarlatti. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he lived within the Rococo period, which was between 1725 and 1775. That wasn't necessarily his dates. But here, this is a really great example of where Italy and Spain sort of are almost the same musically. It's great because the Rococo period delivers examples of not only the sort of pathos of the Baroque period, and what I mentioned also Bach in relationship to that, but also to a large degree gives a sort of lightness, a sort of light, easy listening that you would expect out of Mozart, so to speak.
Thank you.
Did I mention there are four of them? I didn't mention them. The first one is in Allegro, the second one's in Allegro. The third one's much slower, like a Largo. Last one's Allegro too. I like the fast Scarlatti ones, you can tell. Thank you. Well, I don't know if any of you saw, I guess, last night's Vespers. It was a real joy to be able to play some things for some choreography. And this was wonderful. Roxanne put that together, you know, with sort of a collaborative effort among other people also. But I'd like to be able to play that piece again. I don't believe I played it last week. And also, too, it's nice to get an idea to a certain degree of the title. Things were changed to be able to kind of fit the mood of the situation. Campanas del Alba, this particular piece by Enrique Sanz de la Maza, meaning Bells of the Morning. And it's interesting, as you listen to the piece of music, you're going to actually be able to hear the bells. Just a technical note also in relationship to this piece of music. It's interesting with guitar because as opposed to any bowed instrument or perhaps piano where you have a situation of where the string is put into a vibration and as a result then the decay then begins. So the strongest portion of the sound is actually when it first is articulated. The situation with guitar, that's the situation with guitar, with piano, various other plucked instruments. The nice thing about a bow, however, is that you could start softly and then by adding pressure to the bow and perhaps speed, you can actually get louder as it goes. And this is something that us guitar players or, you know, any plectral instrument player has been jealous of for years and years. The fact that we, you know, to a certain degree have to do sort of a more of a reach in relationship to emulating the human voice. And this to a certain degree is what every instrumentalist, I suppose, to a certain degree is trying to do. The interesting thing with this technique called a tremolo is that you have the opportunity to kind of give the vision or the illusion of being able to make the note sound like one. And as a result, you can play that and be able to make sort of a continuous sound in hopes of being able to make that get louder and softer and perhaps breathe as individuals do when they sing. So this is the situation with this. This is done actually with the thumb, just a little classical guitar lesson here. We have P, A, M, and I, and they're letters that are there so you don't get mixed up with 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is the situation because it takes two hands to make a note. But the situation here is that you use the thumb, A finger, this finger, the middle finger, and then the index in a very quick sort of sequence. And as a result, then hopefully you get the sound of a continuous articulation. Campanas del Alba. Thank you. I guess after that one, I should play something slow. I've written some pieces. I'm wondering whether or not I should put them in. Excuse me while I just rearrange my program here. Actually, what I'll do is I think I'll play a piece of music by Rodrigo. It's called En Las Tragalas. And it's funny. It's amazing to a certain degree on how a lot of those names, if you really read into it, how they kind of have sort of a hidden meaning in them. And, you know, I initially started playing this piece of music, and this piece of music is really extremely manic. It's got, you know, some spots that are very, very rough and tough, and then you have these other parts that are just very languid and soft and sort of pensive. And you look at this and you go, well, all right, it's Amos Tragalis, meaning the sprig of wheat. Meaning, well, all right, so what on earth does that mean? Well, I asked my teacher, Jesus, what's going on here? He was also a poet as well as a guitar teacher, and his statement to that was that it's also kind of has a meaning of people who can't make up their mind. You have the wheat that goes this way with the wind, and then it'll go that way with the wind, and it usually kind of goes in whatever way the rest of the sprigs of wheat are going. So it's kind of amazing and poetic to be able to find out what, you know, is really behind this.
Thank you.
other piece is entitled Cataluna from the Suite Espanol by Albanese.
Thank you.
Next, there are some other compositions that I have played also and composed. They are, one of the first ones is a piece that's called, it's a romance, actually, and it's written over one of my children, or from about one of my children. Piece of music for when my boy started to walk, my first one, and I called it Baby Bossa. And it's sort of, I guess, reminiscent in relationship to the fact that, you know, when they first learn to walk and then they fall down, you know, you have kind of a programmaticism in relationship to that. Thank you. This next one is a romance. You know, who knows? You know, I'm the worst guy at titling my own pieces. You know, it was always so wonderful with the other guys, because they could just say Opus, 203, number 4. And it'd be just, great, because you don't have to name it, just call it a sonata or something like that. Most of these pieces actually are like in a ternary form, or they call them rounded ternary, and I'm not going to go into all of that. But the situation is that, music to a large degree is set up formally like you would like a paper, or like you would a regular sentence. Or no, a paragraph, I guess is a better way of putting it. So anyway, this particular piece of music is kind of in an ABA form, as they say. You might be able to hear the differences. I could almost do these things in a set, couldn't I? The life of Tony Titus, we'll just call it that. This other one is actually called a rondo. And a rondo, and again, you know, for the lack of a better word, maybe I should like hire a poet or something like that. Maybe we can do something programmatic with this. But in essence, it is a rondo, meaning A, B, A, C, A form. So in other words, you have this repetition of an A section coming. Situation here on this last one, if you hadn't heard this concert before, it's kind of funny the way it's all worked out. I met my wife and I you know was excited and I was had all great wonderful sort of creative thought I guess happening, and so I wrote this piece of music in a particular rhythm, and I thought, okay, well now really what is this? And so I looked up the rhythm. And it happened to be a rhythm that was entitled Tarantella. Well, the problem with Tarantella is that it means devil's dance. And I thought I'd name it in relationship to my wife, but I did it anyway. Hafton's Tarantella, I call it. And so I apologized to my wife, but that's kind of the way it came out.
Thank you.